Okay, so we're here once again talking to Brian Harry. Brian, how you doing? It's been a while since we saw you.
Doing good. How are you?
Good, good. So you've since we saw you last, you bought a farm.
I did.
I'll talk to you more about that in a bit. but first, let's talk about what's going on in Team Foundation server world.
A lot. It's been real busy since we last talked. We've made a lot of progress, continuing to work on the Rosario release. Mm-hmm. As you know, Rosario is a pretty big release for us. I think of it as sort of our V2. TFS 2005 was our V1, TFS 2008 was kind of a 1.5, and Rosario is a big V2 with a ton of new capability. Areas we've been working on, we've done a lot of work in version control, particularly around parallel development. We can talk about some of that work if you like. Mm-hmm. We've done a bunch of work around project management, things like integration with Project Server. We've done a bunch of work around requirements traceability, work on process, and a bunch of new work for managing Agile projects that I think people are really going to like. Mm-hmm. We've done a bunch of work in admin and ops, making setup a lot easier, a lot more configurable, a lot faster, a lot more reliable. We've got our first admin console enables you to be able to administer TFS. Mm-hmm. We've done some really awesome stuff in the build space. Our build automation, the TFS build system, now uses Windows Workflow, and you can use the Windows Workflow Designer and build custom workflow tasks, which enables you to automate a lot of things you wouldn't have been able to do before. Mm-hmm. We've done build agent pooling so that I can farm builds out across machines on sort of a first-come, first-served basis. A new feature we call gated check-in, which is a lot like continuous integration. But think of continuous integration as everybody checks in and you find out really fast when somebody broke the build. Gated check-in is sort of the flip side of that, which is you find out if somebody broke the build before it gets checked in.
Oh, nice.
So sort of a little preventative medicine.
And you do a bit of that at Microsoft already, right?
We do. And internally, we do. We've been doing that for probably 10 years or better.
Wow.
That's our standard mode of operation. Every check-in goes through an internal gated check-in system that we call Gauntlet.
And that's just now built into Team Build, so flip a switch and good to go.
That's right.
Great, great.
So I'm sure I'm leaving out a bunch of stuff, but those are some of the really big things we're doing.
Okay. And so we talked to Lori about some of the project management capabilities. Let's drill into one of the ones you picked. Tell me what's going on with version control at a high level.
Sure. The big thing we're focusing on in version control is around, I'll call it parallel development, branch management. The problem people have with parallel development is managing all of their branches and their changes across branches and knowing what's been done in what branch and what has been migrated where and what hasn't. It leads to a lot of confusion, which is why anybody who's doing significant branch management usually has somebody who is their configuration manager and is mm-hmm. responsible for keeping all of that in their head and is the source of authority on what the heck's going on.
And if he's on vacation, then you're in
trouble.
Yeah,
you're in trouble. So we've done a bunch of things. The first, I sort of say the core thing that we did is we've introduced a notion of what we call a branch object. It's branch as a first-class citizen. So in fact, if you walk up to the Source Control Explorer, there's actually, you got a little folder tree on the left-hand side mm-hmm. That shows you your folder hierarchy, and somewhere in there are your branches. In Rosario, it's actually got a different icon. You can actually tell which folders are your branches. Mm. And fairly smart manipulation of that. So like when I create a branch from a branch, it automatically creates a new branch. Stuff like that you'd expect. We have branch properties, so you can, for example, find out who owns the branch, what the purpose of the branch is, how the branch is related to other branches, all of that kind of stuff.
Now, what do you mean, who owns the branch? Is that just a property that you set then?
It is. It's just a property you set. It's very common with branches to have somebody who is sort of the keeper of that branch. So this is who you go talk to if you've got some question about that branch.
Okay.
So this sort of got branch objects and properties. The next thing we've done is we've gone through a bunch of our features and made them more branch and merge aware. A great example is history. So now in history, when you do the history of a file, you'd see merge operations in that file, and it would just say, you know, merged from somewhere, and you'd see the comment, and that was kind of all you had. Well, now there's a little plus next to it. You can hit plus, and it'll show you the history of that file in that branch. Any merges there will have other pluses to them, and you can explore back. So when you're looking at a history of a file and you see a change come into your system, you can track that history back to whoever originally checked in that change across into whatever branch it came from.
Gotcha.
So a very handy thing.
Nice.
Another example is annotate. So annotate is a feature that allows me to look at a file, like canonical scenarios. I look at a line and I go, boy, that's broken. I'm going to right-click on that and say, who was the last person to change that line? Well, again, today, if I do that in TFS 2008, I'll get a little annotation on the left-hand side of the edit buffer that will say, you know, it was checked in by Joe, and it was, you know, here's the change set, and you'll see the comment and all that stuff. That's really cool. But if it was a merge from another branch, you just see it was a merge from another branch. And I can go look at that change set, but all you see is that it was a merge. So then I got to go track that back into that other branch, find out what change set it came from, and it's an exploratory process. Well, now annotate sort of automatically collapses that for you. So it'll follow back into the merge, get the history of that file, and annotate will actually show you for each line the original check-in, and it'll sort of filter out all the merges that happened in between.
Oh, nice.
So also really handy. And then the other big areas, so those are sort of enhancements to existing features. Sort of totally new areas we've invested in are really around understanding your branch structure and understanding how work flows across it. So the first one is we've provided a graphical view of branches. So you can sort of create a query for what branches you want to see. You can filter them, and you can explore your branch hierarchy and see how they're related to each other, create new branches, initiate merges, reparent branches to other branches, all that kind of stuff from a graphical display, which is just way more intuitive to people.
Right.
It's not that you couldn't do any of that stuff before. It's just a nicer interface. The other thing we've done is enabled change tracking across branches. So I sort of talked about the scenario of I find a change, I want to track it back to where it originally came from. Well, there are other scenarios. For example, I might find a change and I want to track where all it went. Right? So I found a bug and I've got a branch structure where I've got a branch for every customer. Could you tell me which customers I've delivered that bug to so I know that I need to go patch their their builds?
Or I'd imagine the reverse is true. Where have I delivered the fix to?
That's right. Yep. Exactly. Same thing. So you can also initiate from a change set, if you're looking at some change that somebody made, whether it was a fix or whether it was a bug, you can right-click and initiate a trace, which will show you either in the hierarchical view, you see your hierarchy of your branches, and it'll show you sort of how that change moved up and down through the tree, and will color code, like, here's the branches it's made it into, here's the branches part of it has made it into, here's the branches that none of it have made it into. You can also pivot that into a timeline view that will show you the same information but over a time scale that kind of shows you temporally how that change flowed. So very, very nice for being able to figure that out. And we further added the ability to do that on work items. So you might say, hey, this task was implemented. Show me what branches that this task has, you know, the work associated with this task has made it into. So we're also working on abstracting it up to a little bit higher level. Rather than finding the four chain sets that made up that task, you can just say, oh, well, our developers associate their changes with the task. So this chain set has four, or this task has four chain sets associated to me. Show me where they've all gone.
Wow.
Sort of in the same basic rules.
That's really powerful. So let's switch gears then and talk about kind of the setup and the administration. You said we've got an MMC snap in now. What types of things can we expect from setup and then from managing the server? What types of scenarios are you enabling there?
Sure. So a bunch of things, and boy, I don't even know where to start. I didn't even talk about one of our major areas of investment for this release, which I'm going to explain all what we're doing and set up. We've done a bunch of work in this release around, We don't have a great term for it. We call it Enterprise Team Foundation Server Management, but it's around sort of large-scale hosted management of a server or set of servers where you've got some organization providing TFS as a service to other organizations. Mm-hmm. Features include things like application tier load balancing, database partitioning, a bunch of isolation features in terms of being able to better manage projects as individual entities, providing the ability to move projects between servers, archive and restore projects, all of that kind of stuff. So, now let me transition into your question.
Okay.
So the first big thing we've done in Team Foundation Server, in the admin and ops space, is to really redo the way setup works. Setup for TFS in 2005 was really fragile, and we got a lot of feedback from customers that it was a problem. We did a lot of work in 2008 to make it a lot better, and the feedback we've gotten is it is a lot better, but that it can get even better. The first thing we've done is to break the setup experience into two parts. The first part is just getting the code installed on the machine, getting it the binaries copied, the DLLs placed, all of that, the few register keys set that have to be set, getting the software installed. The second step is configuring TFS, setting up my SharePoint site, setting up my reporting services site, creating my projects.
Web access.
Yeah, web access. All of the configuration stuff, even configuring my SQL database, what databases different things are going to be stored in. Mm-hmm. That sort of configuration. So in 2008 and 2005, those are all wound together into one experience, which is your setup experience. One of the ramifications of that is when you're done with setup, you've configured all those things, and there's really no UI or help to go back and change it if you say, you know, I want to change what port I'm on,
right,
or I want to change what SQL Server database I'm using. We really don't provide a lot of tools other than some command line tools for doing that. So by separating these, sort of separated the raw installation part from the configuration part. Mm-hmm. And that configuration part is doubly used. It's used in the setup experience, and it's used in the MMC console as an administration experience. So that was sort of the first big change we made, was to break that out. The second big thing that we did is to then take that and build an MMC console around it that allows me to see all the components of my TFS server, see what parts of it are working and not working, view what port I'm on, what account I'm using for, you know, what the service account and password are, where my SharePoint server is, all that kind of stuff, and then to reconfigure those things if you want to change them. Other things we've done are we've added a bunch of flexibility. For example, in TFS 2005, you had to have your SharePoint site on your TFS server. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of feedback that people use SharePoint server farms, and the people who administer SharePoint are different than the people who administer TFS, and we were sort of forcing a coupling that people didn't like.
Right.
So in 2008, we changed it and said, okay, now your TFS SharePoint server can be somewhere else. It doesn't have to be on the TFS box, and we'll reference it. But we still had some fairly significant constraints around how that SharePoint site had to be managed. Mm-hmm. There's no date number on it yet, in the Rosario release, we've gone the next step further and said, well, for one thing, SharePoint's optional. You don't have to have a SharePoint site. If you want one, there's a bunch of functionality you'll get. Mm-hmm. If you don't want one, that's okay too.
Oh, cool.
You also, it doesn't have to be SharePoint. If you want to just use a wiki site or you want to use msdn.microsoft.com as
right.
your team site, feel free.
So this is wherever people go when they right-click Show Project Portal.
Yep.
Got it.
So I think people are going to like that a lot. It's a lot more flexible. We've also enabled SharePoint sub-sites, which we don't support today.
Okay.
So much, much more flexible integration with SharePoint. We've done some similar things with reporting services. And in general, just made TFS much more resilient to your IT environment. and then provided you a good setup experience around it and a good management experience around it.
And so you're supporting WSS and MOS,
that's
right,
correct.
In 2008.
Yeah, in fact, yeah. In 2008 we support both. Mm-hmm. In Rosario, not only do we support both, but there are going to be some MOS-specific features in it that I think when you have MOS, you're going to find more TFS value than not having MOS.
Can you give us a taste of that, or is that still...
I don't want to go too deep.
Okay.
The big area is going to be around, we take advantage of some MOS features, just,
okay,
you know, team calendars and, you know, wikis and the higher-end collaboration features in MOS. But the second thing is we are using some MOS services to provide a better portal experience around cross-project dashboards,
okay,
around sort of high-level roll-ups of how is my project going and a much better
okay.
view.
Sounds good.
Insight into your project.
All right. Maybe that's another video we'll take a look at once,
yeah,
once you
talk
about
that. Give us a few months to make a little more progress on,
okay,
that. But I think there's going to be some really exciting stuff there.
Sounds good. So you've talked about setting up Team Foundation Server. You've talked about some of the features you're doing to make it more enterprise ready. Let's talk about Microsoft's own usage. So I know that you're very involved with the way that Team Foundation Server gets rolled out across Microsoft. This is a big blog topic for you. How's it been going? How's the growth across the company? And I guess a lot of people are going to ask, you know, is Windows using this? Is Office using this? What's the story there?
So growth has been big. I mean, it has been for the last couple of years, just every month, we're bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're up to about 27 servers internally.
Wow.
And a total of about 15,000 regular users. It's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Different teams use different parts of it. Some teams use the whole thing. Some teams have focused their use on one particular aspect. MSIT is sort of a holistic user of the entire thing, and they're actually our biggest chunk of users. I want to say somewhere on the order of 3,000, 3,200. I don't remember the exact number, but a lot.
Okay.
And then DevDiv is our sort of second biggest user, developer division. That's us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the approaching 3,000 range. We also use the vast majority of the functionality. In fact, I'd say we use it all. The only thing, the one caveat I give is the team build stuff, the TFS build automation features,
mm-hmm,
are not used by the central build lab yet.
Okay.
We had a pre-existing substantial automated build system, and the process of cutting that over to a new thing is a major undertaking. However, a lot of the individual feature teams use it for their local builds, their continuous integration builds, mm-hmm, their gated check-in builds, those kinds of things. It's very commonly used for. And I expect it will eventually move into the build lab, but that might take a little while.
Okay.
Office uses it for project management. Windows is using it for project management. SQL's using it for bug tracking and task tracking. And then there's tons of other groups around the company that use it. MSN, there's a bunch of groups that use it. Xbox, Microsoft.com, on and on and on.
Yeah.
It's a long list.
So what about operations management? What types of things have you done, maybe in Rosario or maybe in the 2008 release, so that, you know, you can say, are my servers running correctly? You know, what, you've 15,000 people are depending on you here, right?
Yeah, so we have a variety of things. The one that's coming soon, I don't know the exact date, but it's like in the next month or so,
mm-hmm,
is we've got a system center configuration, or what is it? System Center Operations Manager Pack, SCOM.
What used to be MOM, right?
Yeah, what used to be MOM, now it's SCOM, and it's System Center Operations Manager.
Okay.
We've got a SCOM pack coming out that is for monitoring and managing TFS installations. That's going to be a big help. We also have a tool called TFS Server Manager, which is a tool that we use to help monitor our servers and see what's going on with them and
okay,
understand who's using them and what they're using them for and if the server's not behaving well. It provides really good insight into what the server's doing and, and why it's struggling.
And you also have this best practices analyzer. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. That's mostly not around operations, but around configuration.
Okay.
If something goes wrong with your TFS, for some reason some component suddenly starts failing, either you know, you try to set it up and something didn't work right out of the gate, or months later something suddenly stops. We've got this tool also in the Team Foundation Server Power Tools called the Best Practices Analyzer. And basically what it does is you point it at your TFS server and it does an incredibly detailed scan of your server, looking at as best we can, everything we can look at that we think affects TFS's operations. And then reports errors saying, hey, this is not working, this is configured wrong, and warnings that'll say, you know, this is working, but, you know, this is not what we generally recommend the way this should be configured.
So you may even want to run this, even if you think everything's fine with your TFS, just to see preventatively.
Absolutely. It's a good thing to run every once in a while.
Gotcha.
You know, the very common things that people find is that a service account password is expired or something like that. And the server's not operating and the best practices analyzer run, and it'll tell you which service account password has expired, and then you just go reset the password and your TFS is up and running again.
And I heard that's the same tool that our customer support uses as well, right?
It is. Customer support uses it extensively to diagnose any configuration issues that customers have.
Okay, great. Sounds good. Well, I know that we're going to be spending a lot of time with your team drilling into a lot of the areas that you talked about, getting some demos. So let's switch gears entirely and talk about your farm. So you bought a farm, what, about 10 months ago or so?
Actually, a little over a year ago.
Yeah.
It was June of last year, yeah.
Okay. How do you find time to run the Team Foundation Server team and do this farm? You must be really passionate about it.
It's hard. You know, it's just it's a big change in focus. It's not the right word. How do I say it? It just provides such a different aspect to my life. My life is very focused on work, has always been very centered on my work. And this provides me an outlet to sort of relax. It's great exercise, I'll tell you that.
Yep.
I've never been one to go to the gym, but I'm happy to get out on the farm and build a fence or, you know, plant a garden or do whatever. It's just good being outside, exercising, and it just provides me a release from work.
So
it's hard to find the time.
Coming up on fall time here, have you had your harvest yet, or is that coming
bits
up?
Of it? Okay. You know, the garden didn't work out so well this year. We don't live on the farm yet, and the farm's actually about 20 minutes from my house. And unfortunately, on the opposite side of work.
Of course.
So what it ends up meaning is, getting out there is sort of hard. If you're not going to be out there for several hours, it isn't worth it. So the weeds kind of got ahead of us this year, and we got a bunch of stuff. We got some corn, we got some beans, we got a lot of potatoes, like 500 pounds of potatoes or something.
Wow. Yeah, so if you're in the Raleigh area and you need some potatoes, give Brian a call.
Broccoli and you know, some stuff, but it was you know, less than half of what I think we would have hoped to have gotten out of it. So,
gotcha.
Next year.
So, is this a career change for you coming up then?
No, not anytime
soon.
Yeah, it's a hobby. I like it, and I plan on, you know, it's sort of how I spend my weekends.
Cool.
Some people spend their weekends boating. Some people spend their weekends
farming.
Yeah, it's doing something else. I spend mine farming.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, thanks for taking the time, and we're looking forward to Team Foundation Server Rosaria.
Great. Thank you.